AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Thursday. Good to be with you on what is a gorgeous day out there right now. Snow is melting, Eric. It is, I don't think it's going to be too much longer before most yards are exposed. Although mine, for some reason, it's like the last in my block to get the snow to come on out. So, yeah, so it's nice, though, that time of the year where things start to change. St. Patrick's Day. I am working on trying to get Dermot Flanagan back on the air tomorrow for the St. Patrick's Day is on Saturday this year, which may God have mercy on all of our souls. It's one of those holidays whenever it pops up on a Friday or Saturday. It's not a bad one outside of the fact that, A, don't drink and drive. B, find a designated driver. And C, try to stay vertical. Is that really St. Patrick's Day? Is that really that hard to do? Stay up. You see how they dance? That's where you should be. That's your standard. Irish dance standing. Are you a big St. Patrick's Day guy?
I enjoy it. No, I don't make a big deal of it every year, but it's fun.
I make a bigger deal out of it because my godparents of my kids, when we had kids, my wife, we were like talking about friends. I said, I want my Irish friends to be the godparents because if we're going to put someone in this, I want people that take it seriously. And they really do take it quite seriously. So the godparents are all in Ireland, Irish in Ireland, and they're very good friends of mine. I love them dearly. And Dermot is the godfather of all three of my kids. He's a lawyer outside of Dublin. And just a wonderful man, just truly a great guy. And St. Patrick's Day over there is much more of kind of a cross between Thanksgiving and New Year's, you know, and a little bit of 4th of July in there as well. It's a little more, you know, it's not drink yourself with green beer. I mean, that's – and the corned beef and cabbage. Corned beef and cabbage is very American Irish, and they give me grief for it, but I'm sorry. I grew up in New England. Corned beef and cabbage, yumbo. That is – New England boiled dinner is one of my favorite things in the world to eat.
Yeah, I don't care how authentic it is. It's delicious.
It's authentic for us, and I love corned beef and cabbage. The story on that is that, you know, the corned beef was always the worst cuts of meat. And the Irish, who were, of course, despised, were always given the worst cut of meat. So they basically had to pickle the meat to make it soft enough to eat. And then, of course, they came across gold. Gold, I say. So New England boiled dinner, of course, all that stuff. And, of course, the green beer and the goofy party favors and kiss me, I'm Irish, and, you know, drunken debauchery, that sort of thing. For them, it's, you know, a nice meal, family get-together, you know, it's a holiday day over there, obviously. I think they have got one of the Six Nations games, a big one with Ireland. Is it Ireland and Great Britain this year? I know they try to play either Scotland, Great Britain, or Wales on St. Patrick's Day around that time for the Six Nations. So I know they'll have a big match. Yeah, it's much more there's a real Thanksgiving quality to it, although they don't eat like we do, and there's a lot more, you know, it's a national holiday pride, national pride holiday, so 4th of July-ish sort of thing, and then just a big celebration. So that's St. Patrick's Day. They watch out on the, you know, watch out for the Irish on the 16th in Ireland, on the 16th and the 18th. They go to town on those 2 days. There's the 17th, the St. Patrick's Day itself, they calm themselves down a little bit for that. But the 16th, holy gosh, I have seen people drink. Wow. If drinking ever becomes an Olympic sport, they're going to be gold medaling every year. 952-946-6205. Of course, that St. Patrick's Day is on Saturday. Hopefully, Dermot Flanagan. I've got the feelers out trying to get in touch with him, and hopefully he can join us to talk about things going on with that. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I also do want to encourage you. Yesterday was great radio, but not on my show. Oh, for God's sakes, not my show. I had Stein on with me. Come on, man. Really? No, not my show. Mac and T's show yesterday was as good as it gets. It really was a top-notch show. Those kids that came in and talked on the National Day Out, Gabby was one of them. She was actually here in studio with Mike. And then, of course, Nancy coming in to talk about her story. Just if you get a chance, go listen to yesterday's Mike McAtee show. That is just top-notch stuff. And just top to bottom, better than anything I do. So, you know, enjoy that. 952-946-6205. All right. So I got an interesting call this morning. But before I get into that, to preface this a little bit, the if you notice, Pennsylvania 18, in case you've missed the story, the Democrat's the winner. The Democrat won. The Democrat was the winner. It wasn't a tie. It wasn't they both went back to their respective corners and we'll try something else. No, the Democrat won in what would be best described as a Tom Emmer seat. And that's really the best way to put it into to focus for you. Think about Pennsylvania 18 as Minnesota 6. Minnesota 6 is a seat that's designed that a turnip could run with an R next to his name. As a matter of fact, we had one run for a while, Michelle Bachmann, and they would win. And you know, to show you how bad you have to be, it took them, what, 6 years or four terms of incompetence beyond incompetence from Michelle Bachmann before they finally said, I don't care if there's an R next to her name, I'm not voting for her. It took them 8 years to realize how incompetent she was. And the minute she realized she was going to lose, and she was going to lose, if Graves would have run against her, she would have lost, and big time, she ran away from the election. She ran away like a coward, because that's the Republicans today. Snowflakes. So that would be like the Pennsylvania 18 race. Pennsylvania 18, for the Democrat to win there, imagine Tom Emmer outspent his opponent in that district 5-1, and he still lost. That's insanity. That should put the fear into every Republican, especially a Jason Lewis and Eric Paulson, where they're not in 20-point seats. They are not in 20-point seats. I think Minnesota 3 is, I think, about a 7-point. It's closer. It's 3-point. It's generally a 3-point Republican lean. And Minnesota 2, I believe, is 7. I believe Minnesota 2 is 7. Neither one of those will sustain that kind of turnout. They won't. I mean, the Republicans are realizing Trump's an idiot. Democrats are infuriated and angry and finally showing up. About damn time, people. But needless to say, they're not going to be able to weather that. So, huge win. Massive win. Have you heard that? I mean, really, have you heard that? I mean, some of the more left-leaning news sources have been big on it, like Talking Points Memo, Raw Story, Huffington Post. But have you seen the headline on MSNBC or CNN? Surely not on Fox. They're not going to. Have you seen the New York Times? I think the New York Times was one of the few news outlets that actually did have a blurb that came around when they finally said, you know, it's over. You know, Democrat declared winner in Pennsylvania 18. This was a massive victory. And for most of the world, it ended as a tie, and they haven't heard anything since. And the reason why is because it's such an obnoxiously bad story for the Republicans, they have buried it. And I have talked about this many times. They clearly control the media in this country, and they bury stories when they can. And even on networks which are viciously attacked by Trump and the Republicans, they bury the stories on those networks as well. I mean, that's a great example of it. I've often as well talked about the obscene media bias in this town. I mean, this town's KSTP is probably the most consummate example. I mean, back when Stuart Mills was running against Rick Nolan, they found that one speech. Now, once again, at the KSTP stations across the state, they would air anything that came from the Mills, pro-Mills people. I mean, regardless of how outlandish the lie, how outlandish the suggestion, they would always greenlight that ad and they'd air it in heavy rotation. They found a speech of Stuart Mills basically saying, it sucks to be poor and we're not going to help you. You know, I'm paraphrasing, but it was about a 30-second little blurb, and they refused to air it because they said it took the quote out of context, so that if they wanted to air that, they had to air the entire 2-hour speech, seriously, or like hour-long speech. They had to air like the entire hour-long speech, and that they couldn't just air the one little cut. Now, first of all, it did not take it out of context. It clearly was very much in context. But it was kind of one of those things where they basically made it, considering the Hubbards were big supporters of Stuart Mills, they basically were guiding which new what got aired. And it basically, you know, Stuart Mills could call Rick Nolan a demonic hell beast who's trying to kill and eat your children. But if you said, you know, Stuart Mills had, you know, set his hair on fire while trying to barbecue, which he did, how dare you? No, we got to scratch that ad. I mean, bias. Pointergate, for God's sakes, Pointergate. The character assassination, the sensationally inept character assassination attempt of Mayor Betsy Hodges by KSTP J. Coles and the crew over there, and DeMonico, the police union head. Insane. You got international ridicule for that one. And all it was a hit piece. It was designed to basically make her look bad. And by the way, you were upset about Mayor Hodges. Have you seen Jacob Fry? You seen Melvin Carter? You're right on the border of those two towns. Ah, good luck there. You know, you used to think R.T. Rybak and Mayor Hodges were too liberal. Oh, well, it's a brand new day in Minneapolis. Good luck with all that. But, you know, you do have a bias here. How many times has there been a do you remember the pro-Confederate flag rally? That there's gonna be this massive rally of pro-Confederate flaggers. Now, once again, and this goes back to the days where I was, you know, reminding these people, we kicked the Confederacy's ass. And Minnesota had a lot of troops that went and fought the Confederacy at Gettysburg, at Nashville, you know, various you know locations. I've got a great uncle who died in North Carolina. I've got of course my great grandfather, my great great grandfather, fought for New York in the Civil War, survived. So this was. The idea of the Confederate flag, and it came to light because we had all these like these idiot firemen down in southern Minnesota were putting the Confederate flag on their fire truck during the 4th of July parade. It's like, okay, you realize that's the flag of the enemy. You might as well be flying an ISIS flag, and you really might as well. You might as well just fly an ISIS flag because that's the kind of the same group. That's the enemies of the United States of America. Just put them all into one big bunch. Well, there was a group that came on out, and they had enough, Matt. They had enough. They were going to show everybody that there was a lot of support for the Confederate flag in the United States. They offered, it was going to be a whole big, you know, jamboree over there at the state capitol. I mean, they had hot dogs and buns. The good thing is, I don't think they had to use one entire package of buns because eight people showed up. Eight. And like seven of them quickly ran away when they realized, oh, no one likes the Confederate flag here, do they? Eight people. But I mean, if you paid attention to the news in this town, it was, man, irate people are going to be marching on the Capitol in support of the Confederate flag. It's going to be a massive demonstration in support of the Confederate flag. Of course, when seven people showed up, no one even mentioned it. Oh, yeah, you know, talk about a few people did. I think MinnPost mentioned it. City Pages mentioned it. But very few other places mentioned the incomplete embarrassment. You had Scott Walker when he was running for the first time for governor. They had, or maybe it was the second time he was running. They had a few thousand people in Hudson, Wisconsin, protesting his arrival. He had like 25 people in the room. That was it. Like 25 people showed up to see Scott Walker. 1,000 people were protesting him, and if you looked at Channel 11, Channel 5, Channel 4, Fox 9, you looked at any of the channels in this town, what was the narrative? Scott Walker stopped by Wisconsin and Hudson today and was greeted by supporters. Yeah, it was greeted by far more protesters, and not once did they even mention that. I think Channel 4 mentioned a counter-protest was in the area, but that was it. There is an insanely biased slant to the conservative slant to the news. It's one of the reasons why I stopped getting the Star Tribune news, because they would put incompetent boobs who a four-year-old could effectively counterpoint as conservative talking points in their Sunday editorial, and the Democrats got Monday. Oh, really? You give all the conservatives the Sunday editorial page, and the Democrat rebuttals, they get on Monday, the lowest circulation day of the week. Oh, good for you. I got tired of that crap. And I got tired of them writing pro-conservative stories, like when they wrote the story that was for charter schools and stuff. They wrote, there is an insane bias towards the conservatives. Now, I've said all this before, all right? This morning, I got a phone call, which highlights yet another example of this. And I'll share the details of that when I do come on back. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
This is Pat with PJW Automotive in New Brighton. I've been in business long enough to know that if you want to stand out, you better be the best. That's why I've assembled a top-notch team of automotive specialists who do the job right the first time. Bringing your car or truck to PJW Automotive is an investment in the future of your vehicle. Try us once and you'll see it's worth the drive to PJW Automotive. One exit north of 694 on 35W and online at pjwauto.com.
While shopping for a fireplace insert at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, I was amazed at all the choices. Not just gas, electric, or wood burning, but also built-in or freestanding, and options in every style from antique to modern. The staff really listened to us, explained the options, and helped us choose a fireplace we absolutely love. Now it warms our hearts and our home every winter. Thank you, Woodland Stoves, for a great addition.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak, putting in a word for the EPA Burn Wise campaign. It has important information about clean burning fireplaces. This is an important part of our mission at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. We know that the fireplace has to work. Work with your life, work with your living space, and also be environmentally smart. Come see us. Learn to burn wise. We have over 35 working units on display at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Visit our store in person or online at woodlandstoves.com.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
Listen to this hypothetical scenario. Jack recently died without a will. Who's responsible for paying his outstanding debts? Who gets Jack's house and retirement benefits? If you are unsure of the answers to any of these questions, it's important that you call Unique Estate Law now. This is Chris Timchuk, and you can have confidence knowing that whether your situation is simple or complex, protecting your family is my first concern. Find me at uniqueestatelaw.com or call 952-260-1806.
This is Danny Ziegler, and my family's restaurant, Our Kitchen, has been located off 36th Street between Aldrich and Bryant for 76 years. Stop in and you'll enjoy some of the most delicious comfort food around. Our made-from-scratch breakfast and lunch dishes like French toast, eggs, and hamburgers will be made right in front of you. And don't miss our award-winning pancakes and hash browns, too. Our Kitchen is open weekdays from 6:30 to 3, weekends 7 to 2, and enjoy our pleasant outdoor seating, weather permitting. Learn more at eatlocalminnesota.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. So yesterday in Minnesota and across Minnesota and across the country, students had finally said enough's enough with this gun violence crap. And for the most part, in a lot of cases, left with school approval to go on outside and voice their opposition to the continued gun violence and the continued pandering to the terrorist organization that is the NRA and their insane spokespeople who keep screaming more guns, more guns, more guns. And this was a pretty big event. This was a pretty huge event. And I got a call and I said, and this person is not a. They do have occasionally voted liberal, but Democrat, but they have also have voted Republican and voted Republican recently, but not for Trump, but in other races. And so she's one of these people that's kind of more middle of the road, truly is. I mean, you know, like I said, does go, you know, it's not like one of those people that's like, I'm independent, but they vote Republican every time. No, she does go back and forth between the two parties. And she has always said that I don't think that there is this bias in media that exists, that's not that bad. And she calls me this morning and says, Matt, how many kids do you think in the state of Minnesota alone protested? And that's actually, I kind of got to a good question, because in some of the larger school districts, 1,000 kids were supposedly, at least 1,000 kids were out. And in Minneapolis, St. Paul, I know it was huge. It was a very large numbers in some of the schools. And some of the school districts, you know, were run by, you know, little dictators who basically, don't you dare go out or else I'll say you'll be 5 days of in-school suspension. You know, all right, nice. Nice. No, really, really. Way to teach the kids a lesson about how not to protest and engage in their freedom of speech. Nicely done. But most of the schools, like my kids' schools, they did a very fine job. And they let the kids go on out, and they kept track of them. They voiced their opinion. They made a protest and were able to go back into school. And it was a good day. You know, the kids talked about it. They thought it was pretty. They thought it was a good lesson. And the more I thought about it, the more I said to myself, you know, yeah, how many kids did participate in this? Because if, you know, in my kid's school district, if 1,000 or so kids participated there, you know, and, you know, our school district is nowhere as big as some of these other school districts. How many kids were participating? Is it really that outlandish that 100,000 kids probably participated in this? It probably not. And granted, some schools had no kids participate because, you know, hey, don't you dare give it to the liberal agenda. That sort of thing. Yeah, you were protesting, but you were protesting for the NRA there. But no, there was some schools that had 10 kids, 5 kids. No, but you had a lot of kids protesting. And she said, Matt, is it really that hard to believe it could be 100,000, maybe even 150,000 kids? Is it really that hard to believe? And I said, okay, well, wait a minute here. If it was, how much of the percentage of the population of the state would that be? So say it was 100,000, Matt's math corner, divided by the population of the state is 5.5 million. So 5500000 equals, well, basically 2% of the population. And then all of a sudden it hit me. Wait a minute here. Yesterday we had 2% of the population in the state of Minnesota protesting a single issue, and it wasn't covered. And that was her point. She says, wouldn't you expect something? If it was 150,000 kids, you're getting close to 3% of the population of Minnesota. If you had 3% of the population of this state show up in protest of Hillary Clinton, the media in this town would run with, Minnesota rejects Hillary Clinton. It would. That is what they would run. That would be the narrative that they would put forward. Absolutely. Without a doubt. If there were 3,000 people protesting NFL football players kneeling during the national anthem because they stand and shut up, even though that the NFL players actually have a very legitimate argument about the, you know, inadequacies and inequity of the system in place in America. If they did it, it would be Minnesota rejects the NFL. It would. That you would. You'd have front page stories, news coverage, live coverage. You had 100,000 kids in this state alone, protesting gun violence in this country. And yeah, Star Tribune had a little piece, some pictures out there. Some of the news teams had a little bit here. Shouldn't this be a much bigger story than it really was reported? And if you look at the news today, it's completely gone. For the most part, one or two stories that are here that are, you know, straggler stories of, you know, who is behind the protests. But 2% of the population of the state of Minnesota showed up pretty much at the same exact time to protest one single issue. To protest, not the people that agreed with it, but to protest. It is amazing. And this is what her point was, is this should be a huge news story. It should be, and it's not. And I agree with him. Kids, you're scaring the living daylights out of a lot of people. You keep it up. You're doing a heck of a job. Gabby and the rest of the kids that are out there, top-notch work. You're scaring them because you finally have had it. And the reality is the adults sometimes are too damn incompetent to get out of their own damn way. So you keep hammering home and sending the message that you are done with this. And do not allow the fact that this was downplayed and ignored, in some cases outright ignored, like Fox News, not necessarily Fox 9 here in town, but Fox News on the national level. Because this was ignored, don't let that discourage you, because they're trying to shut you up. And Well, you can be like a lot of kids, like my own kids. When I tell them to be quiet, they don't. So go for it. You have my permission. Let's get David in here really quick before we go to the break. David's in San Francisco, California, IA. Welcome on in, David.
Yeah, howdy, Matt. I originally come from St. Louis down in Missouri. And if you remember your history, that was the last slave state. And when Martin Luther King got assassinated in 68, my parents authorized me to take a day off. I think this was about 1970. And many other states were coming up with Martin Luther King holiday. And Missouri was not going to have it. And we took the day off and, honored him. And would have caught in hell for it, but the fact that my parents authorized it, they didn't have any ability to punish us. But it took a lot of work. There were a number of kids, when some of the other kids in our school found out that we were taken off, they were maybe jealous and maybe respecting it and maybe admiring it, but. It just took about 2 years, and finally Missouri, came around and authorized the holiday. But, these kids, the idea of them knowing that they have no future with a guy like Trump, and the guy is eager to sell more guns, and with these hellish bigots that are out there, acting as if they can just kill blacks. And as I understand it, black murders, strange black murders. These down in Austin, you remember the bombings in the last 2 days?
Yeah, the mysterious bombs.
These are apparently aimed against blacks. And so they're, the Klan is out there. The Nazis are out there.
Well, and David, if I can step on in here really quick with you, I'll tell you what, we'll take that point. I'm running late here to get the break in. Thank you, David. I appreciate the phone call and the context and the historical history. I got a heck of a story to back up David here in just a second, though. A heck of a story out of Tennessee. I'll share that when I do come on back. And also a little bit more about these protesters and Carla Nelson, who's now my favorite foil. Oh, Carla. You and I have to talk about your bill. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. My first Toyota love was the RAV4 back in 1998. When I was traveling in February, I needed a rental car, and I jumped at the opportunity to drive one again. The RAV4 is fantastic with all the bells and whistles you need, and it has all the modern safety features to keep us safe, comfort as we vacationed. It fit all five of us and our luggage with ease. I was able to revisit my first love. Now, you can fall in love for yourself by test driving a RAV4 today at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169.
Spur your imagination at Stages Theater Company with the steampunk dance-inspired musical, The Nightingale. You will be charmed by the reimagining of Hans Christian Andersen's classic fairy tale as a whirlwind of mayhem when a watchmaker's mechanical bird creates a frenzy in the Mayor's Festival of Progress. A delightfully contagious tune turns into a comical clatter as they yearn for the original Nightingale's songs of natural beauty. Enjoy the journey as the town learns to find balance between technological progress and the healing music of the real Nightingale. This world premiere musical is told through original music and is the sixth collaboration with Escalate Dance. It features ballet, tap, jazz, contemporary, and folk-centric dancing and choreography. The Nightingale runs March 9th to the 25th and will be loved by all ages. For ticket information, visit stagestheater.org.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today will be sunny with a high near 40. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 18. Friday will be sunny with a high near 41. And Friday night, partly cloudy with a low around 23. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 47. AM 950 is brought to you by a brand new store called Ambibulous. Ambibulous means one who enjoys alcoholic beverages of all sorts. Ambibulous is a Minnesota maker's market selling only craft beer, wine, and spirits made in Minnesota. Located at 949 Avenue East in Northeast Minneapolis.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Programming brought to you by eatlocalminnesota.com. Our kitchen is the restaurant of the week over on 36th Avenue South between Aldrich and Bryant. Now, made from scratch breakfast and lunch dishes. They're open weekdays 6:30 to 3, weekends 7 to 2. Now, I know some people are like, well, those are kind of a little bit, odd hours. They don't do dinner. No, they don't. But trust me. They know what they're doing there. It is seriously top five breakfast for me in the city. It is sensational. I love that place. And you just don't go wrong. Try the pancakes. The eggs are great. And then, of course, they have great lunch, too. Once again, it is 6:30 to 3 on weekdays, 7 to 2 on weekends. It's our kitchen, the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. So following up from our good friend in San Francisco talking about the laws in St. Louis, a symbolic law would have declared the state of Tennessee and its people not tolerant of discrimination or hate in any form or manifestation, and that we stand united to resolve to promote and ensure equality for all Tennesseans. Now, so they put a bill forward against the Nazis. This was an anti-Nazi bill. It condemned white supremacist violence and the Nazis. How did it go? It failed in the House State Government Subcommittee, which is led by Republican Bill Sanderson, and that other GOP members of the committee would not vote to have it discussed before it was dismissed. Generally, when something like this happens, it's because everyone got together and planned it beforehand. Clemens told Fox, it was insinuating that the chairman told them to kill the bill by not seconding it. Why? I can't imagine. What example does this set for our children? So basically, he put forward the bill, I would like to discuss this bill. The only other Democrat on the committee says, vote for the bill. No one seconded the bill. So this guy, okay, all you're doing is condemning Nazis. Do you remember, 70 years or so ago? They were our enemy, the Nazis. But because, and once again, more proof positive, because the Nazis are a definitive wing of the Republican Party, these guys cannot condemn them. It's why, when the guy we talked about, the guy that had the audio from McEntee, where we were talking about the guy who was from Edina, who was talking about the Daily Stormer, the newspaper of the Nazis, and the Republicans saying, don't badmouth them. Don't call people the Nazis. A little too close to home. This is legit. This is legit. If you are in the Republican Party, that guy sitting next to you is wearing a sheet. The other guy is wearing a swastika. That's your party now. Good luck with that. It's the reason why you want to know why Republicans, you don't have what happened in Pennsylvania 18 happen without a lot of Republicans staying at home. And you know why? It's because you're the party of the Nazis, for God's sakes. Nazis. Is this really that hard for you guys? You've taken a very wrong turn. And, you deserve the problems that you get. By the way, C is tweeted me. You can tweet us, tweeps, at Matt McNeil Show. And, of course, over you can follow us on Facebook, Matt McNeil Show, Progressive Citizen X. C brought up the point. This is Care 11. Your lead story is about a bounty hunter and a dog. Thousands of young leaders marched to the Capitol in gun reform. Never again gun reform. Hashtag gun reform now. Hashtag gun control now. Thanks, C. I appreciate that. No, yeah, that's... But Care 11, they got broken a long time ago. Nuclear apocalypse is about to rain down upon us, but first, story about a puppet dog. Here's Care 11 for you. The northern part of the state has fallen into a large magma pit, pretty much destroying the entire state as a whole, but first, story about a kitty cat. We'll get to that. We'll get to the entire northern part of the state being wiped off the planet in just a moment, but here's a story about a bunny. It's Care 11. You think I've lied and watched that network?
Oh, the government's fallen, and we're getting ready to start harvesting each other for food. But first, a story about a cute little monkey. It's Care 11. I'm going to get a lot of crud from this because I know a lot of people at 11. So sorry, guys. Just, you know, just because I'm right doesn't mean you have to be mad at me. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. So yesterday we talked about Carla Nelson. Yeah, that Carla Nelson. Carla Nelson is the Republican from Rochester who's running for Tim Walz's seat down in the Minnesota First. And she is... What it clearly seems to be is she's trying to appeal to Edina conservatives to give me money for my campaign, because she came out with a bill, which is Senate File 2487, which is a bill that says basically if any teacher says anything which is deemed to be political, they will be reprimanded. We will reprimand you. We will fire you. We will get rid of you. Of course, she has no problem with it being conservative. This is about the liberal conversation. And, of course, it's Edina is the focal point of this because they had a bunch of, you know, their conservative student group were all upset because no one's bowing down before us. We want to control all these people. How dare they? They're hurting our feelings. It's a little snowstorm over there. But, you know, it is what it is. They had a big fight. Then they settled out of court. And they changed some rules up there. But Carla Nelson is saying to herself, wait a minute here. Maybe I can tap into some of this snowflake coin in Edina. Oh, boy. And so she's trying to pass a statewide law that says that if you're a liberal and you say anything liberal at all, that you're going to get punished or fired or something of that nature. That they're gonna we're going to create this kind of oversight board, I guess, or rule board that's going to determine the punishment for teachers that how dare they are liberal. How dare you? Seriously, this is what she wants to do. This is her bill. Senate File 2487. Melissa Franson, the Democrat over in Edina, she's had a few choice words about this bill. But this is who the Republicans are. They're snowflakes. They're scared little poor little boo-boos. Those poor little boo-boos. They basically are terrified of allowing anything that they don't agree with being said. And so she's trying to basically stifle the freedom of speech of anyone in the school. Now, I'm going to get to a big problem because that is, when you say it on the outside, you actually have to start talking your way through that bill to understand how loony that bill is. But I'll get to that in a second. Still, I'm waiting for Carla Nelson to describe to us what the punishment should be for all these students. The 2% of the state population that went out and protested yesterday. What is it, Carla? Should they be expelled? Should any teacher or administrator that allowed this to happen, should they be fired immediately? Because liberals! It's, you know, it is getting warm outside. The snowflakes are melting, aren't they? What's your response, Carla? What do you think should happen to these kids that went out and invoked their freedom of speech and right to protest? What do you think? So let's go back to Senate File 2487. And like I said, I think that's when I talk about what she's going to do to punish the kids who are protesting or the administrators that allowed the protest, that's just taking her argument down the logical conclusion path. That's just saying, okay, if we go down the road where you want to go here, this seems to be your end point, is that punishment for people that protest or speak out against what you believe is right and firing of anyone and what, jailing of these people because they dared speak liberal policies. That's kind of the what you would presume to be the logical end path of Carla Nelson's statement. But let's just go with what her whole thing about punishing teachers. Punishing the teachers because they dared be liberal. How exactly are you going to do that? Now, let's just put out a real-world hypothetical. And I thought about this morning as I was walking my dog. And the minute I thought about this, I said, yeah, how would you deal with this? So the other day, you see that Donald Trump saluted the Marine Corps. Not the Marine Corps, C-O-R-P-S, but the Marine Corps as in Apple Corps, C-O-R-E. Because apparently the buffoon in the White House doesn't understand
that the Marine Corps is C-O-R-P-S. That's how you spell Marine Corps, C-O-R-P-S. Not Apple Corps. And I was like, is the Marine Corps like Apple Corps? Is that our Neptune unit for Space Force? It's Marine Corps. Space 1999. Anyway. So he puts out this buffoonish tweet. He quickly deletes it. But let's take a hypothetical off that one tweet, because this is the president putting out statements. Say a conservative snowflake walks into the classroom. Squeak, 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 squeak. Squeak, 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 squeak. Okay. You get the point. All of a sudden, two of the students who sit next to her in chairs are like, can you believe this idiot president? He wrote Marine Corps, C-O-R-P-S, as Marine Corps, C-O-R-E. Isn't he an idiot? Yeah. Hey, teacher, did you see this? The idiot president called the Marine Corps, C-O-R-P-S, the Marine Corps as in C-O-R-E, like Apple Corps. Isn't that dumb? Well, you know, that's unfortunately, that's a mistake that the president made. The Marine Corps, if you're actually spelling it correctly, is C-O-R-P-S, not like an Apple Corps, C-O-R-E. Now, open your books. Let's get to today's class. Meanwhile, in a corner chair. Conservative child is furious. They're outraged. That teacher just corrected the president of the United States. How dare he? If the president wants to change the name of the Marines to the Marines C-O-R-E, well, he should be able to do it because he's the president. And how dare you speak out against the president? I'm going to call Carla Nelson's Report a Teacher hotline. Yes, I'm outraged. Tell me more about it. Well, a teacher here corrected the president. How dare they? I can't tell if you can tell. The breathing's going back and forth on the phone there. I don't have the technical effects here to pull that off correctly. But you get my point. So what? Now we're going to pull this teacher out because snowflake student child, conservative, here, daddy, pay attention to me, is outraged because the teacher has corrected the president when the president said something incredibly stupid. Doesn't mean the teacher's wrong. Teacher's right. It is Marine Corps, C-O-R-P-S. But because the student was outraged because he dared to correct the president, they call the Carla Nelson Report a Teacher hotline, and all of a sudden that teacher has to leave their classroom one day, drive down to St. Paul to probably meet in some conference room in St. Paul to have the draconian teacher review board sit there and view this guy's actions just to say, well, we're going to let you go with a warning. You were right. It is core C-O-R-P-S. But the next time, you need to make sure no one's making fun of Trump in your classroom or else. Seriously, is that what your bill is going to do? Because it kind of seems like I've read your bill. Kind of seems like that's what the bill is going to do. That you could take that to that standard, and that's exactly what would happen, is that some conservative little snowflake child who's basically upset because the rest of the world doesn't agree with him when it comes to politics gets upset because a teacher said, oh, I thought Hamilton was a good play, and they take that as, look, they're pushing gay rights on me. Do you think I'm crazy? That's exactly what's going to happen. And all of a sudden, the Carla Nelson Report a Teacher hotline is going to be ringing out the hook because we have to report this teacher. So all of a sudden, a teacher has to come out of their classroom for the day, come on down, get reviewed, get punished, maybe get a good finger wagging at them. We're putting you on double secret probation. Because if that's really what your bill is going to do, and it sure looks like that's what your bill is really stupid, like the president of the United States.
952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. If I'm lying, I'm dying, man. That's what it sure seems like they're going with this. Take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
What could be more Russian than Matryoshka, the nesting doll? I welcome you to see one of the largest collection of Matryoshka in the world, now on display at the Museum of Russian Art. A stunning range of sizes, types, and eras are represented, showing how this iconic souvenir has evolved over the last 120 years. Our thanks to Target for sponsoring this extraordinary exhibition, open daily. Find out about all our exhibitions and events at tmora.org, that is tmora.org.
Kevin Ross here, inviting you to our brand new store called Ambibulous. What does Ambibulous mean? It means one who enjoys alcoholic beverages of all sorts. Ambibulous is a Minnesota maker's market. Unlike traditional liquor stores, we feature only craft beer, wine, and spirits made here in Minnesota. We are ready to guide your selections, where you can build your own four or six packs. Find us at 949 Hennepin Avenue East in Northeast Minneapolis or online at ambibulousmn.com.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Hello, this is Ellen Krug with Hidden Edges Radio on Sundays from 1 to 2 p.m. Join me this Sunday for my interview of Stephen Patton from the Public Health Department. Stephen has the unenviable job of tracking down people with sexually transmitted infections. In the process, he's learned a whole lot about humans working to survive the human condition. Quite fascinating, if you ask me. Hidden Edges Radio, challenging, passionate, perspective-changing on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Believe it or not, it's time for spring cleaning. Okay, it's a little bit early to call it spring cleaning, but it's your last chance to save huge on carpet cleaning from Zero Res. With their patented powered water, your home will smell fresh and clean and not like a janitor's chemical closet. And this month you can get three-room Zero Res clean starting at $129. Plus, this month you can still get a great deal when you get your air duct Zero Res clean. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMN.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. The Carla Nelson teacher reported teacher hotline. Nice world you guys have got now. Yeah, seriously. Nice Fahrenheit 451 going on out there. Nicely done. But that's you made a comment, Eric, that the sound of a conservative. You know, that's when you go to the state capitol. You know that. That's what you hear, you know, when you're walking around the state capitol halls.
Even those marble floors.
Yeah. Squeak, 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 squeak. Squeak, 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 squeak. You can always tell them. 952-946-6205. Hey, speaking of delusional idiots, Michael Hari, 47, and Michael McWhorter, 29, and Joe Morris, 22, charged with using an explosive device to damage the Dar al-Farouk Islamic Center in Bloomington near Minneapolis. No one was hurt, but they did do quite a bit of damage. And once again, I want to remind people of something in regards to this attack. Now, these loon balls from Illinois, and by the way, I hate Illinois Nazis. I do. I hate Illinois Nazis. We're not Nazis. You're Nazis. You're attacking Muslim centers. You're bombing, firebombing Muslim centers. I hate Illinois Nazis. Anyway, they capture these three. These three are loon balls. And by the way, we should be highlighting, this should be the news story with all these people. Like the fist fight that's erupted between these two white, the guy was the two founders of the Nazi group. Do you remember, where is that at? Was that Texas?
I'm not sure.
Oh, God. But you heard the story. The two guys that founded the neo-Nazi group, and they were fighting over the one guy's wife?
Yeah, yeah. That's great.
It sounds like the fight from Raising Arizona. And I just remember I nearly wet myself when the guy whips his hands up to hit the guy, and he hits that stuccoed ceiling. He sandpapers his knuckles. Very Kato in Pink Panther. Very Kato. Where are you, Kato? Did he come charging out of the fridge? Was he unloading a sack of groceries and he opens up the fridge and the guy comes diving out of the fridge around his neck? We can only hope. Anyway. These guys, we should be highlighting how insanely childish, stupid, and moronic these people are. But we have more people who are insanely childish, stupid, moronic we have to highlight. All the rightos in the state who basically immediately came on out and accused the Islamic Center in Bloomington of staging this. Do you remember that? I remember that. I remember more than a few of you guys quickly ran out and accused these guys of doing a fake attack to try to make conservatives look bad. I got news for you. They don't need to make you guys look bad. These three knuckleheads from, you know, from Raising Arizona, from Illinois here, they basically made themselves look bad. But where is the media in this town following up with these people now that we actually have arrests, condemning the people that accused, that used a Islamic center that was under attack as a way to promote anti-Muslim hatred in Minnesota by implying that, well, they just staged that. And I know there are some people out there going to quickly say, well, Matt, I didn't say they definitively. I said we should look in to see if it was. Nah, a lot of you guys were insisting this was an inside job, and it wasn't. This was a bunch of idiots, morons from Illinois driving up here, and they don't know anything about our community. They don't know anything about our state. They don't know anything about anything. They just saw Muslim, and they decided to attack. Because, and what was the quote from the guy? Yeah, he told investigators, McWhorter said they did not intend to kill anyone, but wanted to scare them out of the country, referring to the Muslims, because they push their beliefs on everyone else. Now, on the irony scale, and we are into the, you know, Alanis Morissette level of irony, although none of that song was ironic, actually. It's just more bad luck. But anyway, needless to say, they wanted to scare them out of the country because they pushed their beliefs on everyone else, unlike you who firebombed their Islamic center in Bloomington. We have to start holding these people accountable. And it's not just the NRA and their gun beliefs. It's not just Carla Nelson with her attempt at getting campaign donations out of Edina by basically saying, I'm going to rescind the First Amendment for all Democrats and liberals. It's not the idiots in Tennessee. We got to go after them, rather. Not just the guys in Tennessee who are trying to, you know, give cover to the Nazis. It's you know, not just, you know, the people like this who come up and come into our state and bomb our people and potentially damage and kill people and property. We have to stand up against all of it, including the media that has no problem in reporting the people that said, oh, they called it an inside job, but refused to take those microphones and put them back in front of those same people when the actual culprits are arrested. That's the standards we need to hold people to. Mike McIndy is up next. Have a good one. We're back tomorrow. Till then, see ya.